Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Biz Radio U, pushing knowledge further by spotlighting the best in business.
Hello, everybody. I'm Darren Parkinson, and I'm here with my esteemed co-host,
Adam Wozniak.
How are you doing today, Adam?
I'm doing well, man. Excited for the show today.
Oh, I'm excited to have a very special guest that I'll introduce in just a moment. But how's your week been, Adam?
Oh, it's been going all right, man. Mm-hmm. Well, school's getting intense here. Just got some group projects going.
Yeah, it's getting to that point in the semester. I got you. Luckily, we're on spring break now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Got any big plans?
Getting extra hours in at work.
When the real world spring break, I guess that's what happens. See all the fun pictures of your friends going out, doing all things. But for me, I'm lucky. I'm actually going to Denver with my dad. He's planned out this whole amazing trip where we're going to take a road trip from Denver all the way to California. And I'm really excited. He's done an amazing job. And it's, one of the things he taught me was to make sure, like, you work hard, but take the time out to enjoy your life, you know, the little moments.
Oh, yeah, I'm jealous. That trip sounds awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited. So, I'm happy to introduce a very special guest today, Katie Galley.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me today.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Can't complain. It's really nice weather today. You know, summer's coming. It's a big plus. So.
Yeah. Not like we really ever had a winter, but but summer's always,
It gets a little cold, but definitely love the spring and the summer. So. Mm-hmm.
So tell us just a little bit about yourself.
So I'm Katie. I'm originally from New Jersey. I came to Atlanta when I started college at Oglethorpe a couple years ago, and I graduated. I wanted to start my own business. So, luckily my parents let me move back home and just kind of do the entrepreneur thing. And I've been, doing a couple different things, but right now my main focus is a podcast called Keep Moving Forward, where I interview, inspirational people, but the main focus is other entrepreneurs who just have a great story to tell.
You mentioned that you wanted to be an entrepreneur. Is this something you always wanted to do, or when did this come about?
It was something I've always wanted to do, but I guess when I was little, I didn't know what it meant. I didn't have a name for it. But it just, you know, striking out on your own, having desires and passions and goals and just wanting to do something bigger than yourself. And I didn't know what it was until I got into college and I took a couple different classes. And my dad has been a serial entrepreneur his whole life. Mm-hmm. So watching that, I knew I wanted to start my own business and start something. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's funny. Yeah, we actually met through the KSU Entrepreneurship Center.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing I love the most about that, too, is you're surrounded by that culture where people starting businesses becomes normal. So, like you explained growing up with that, that's like, it's just normal to start a business. It sounds terrifying to most people, and it was terrifying to me, too. But now being around that culture and being around like-minded people like yourself, it's just really inspiring.
Yeah. And I think that's a good point with the KSU Entrepreneurship Center. I was blown away when I went there by all of you guys and what you're doing and what the center's doing in general, just allowing students to be cultivated in that kind of atmosphere and, you know, not have the fear of starting your own business and really putting yourself out there.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. So if you had any advice or scared of starting their own business and what steps to take, what would you say?
You just have to figure out what that fear is and try and determine, you know, if what you want to do and the passion that you have is greater than that fear. Mm-hmm. And if it is, then just go for it, because it will just throughout the journey, you'll find as long as that passion is pulling you, your fear will become irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like just entrepreneurship has just been like something that's just been ingrained in you, something that's just been a part of you. So when did you realize that that's what you wanted to do and that's the angle of your show, and how did that all happen?
Well, it started kind of definitely not in the podcasting realm. It was something totally different. When I graduated, my first business was Mallard Made in the USA, and it's a pet supply company, or it was a pet supply company with products made in the United States. Mm-hmm. And the USA part was really important to me because I was a track athlete in college, and I'm still an athlete today, but I had an Olympic dream my whole life. And so the USA made and, you know, being proud of you, the country you grew up in, is was a huge part for me. So I wanted all my products to be made in the United States. And I had an old dog. He was 15 years old, and I wanted him, you know, to have some kind of comfort in his old age. So I thought a dog bed would be a good first product to have. Yeah, I just made Americana-style dog beds from there. But when I first started, I was struggling with, you know, I had to call manufacturers every day and just turning to figure out the schedule. And so to maintain myself and get like on a steady pace, I resurrected an old family blog that we had, and it was called This Week at Disney. And my family were huge Disney fans. So when I brought that back, I would write a blog piece every morning and then I would start my day. And it would just, it set me up for success because I had, okay, I have to do this before I start. And it just helped generate a schedule for me. But one day I was just on Instagram with the This Week at Disney blog, and I found an Etsy shop. And this woman was making Minnie Mouse ears out of flowers. And it was, you know, do-it-yourself projects. And she was just a stay-at-home mom. She used to be a teacher, but wanted to stay at home with her son. And she was just making these ears and selling them. And I thought her story was really interesting. So I sent her an email and sent her some questions and, you know, conducted an online interview with her. And the next week, I published that interview as a blog post. And when I shared it on social media, she shared it, and then her friend shared it, and her family shared it. And it was the most hits I'd ever gotten to my blog site with that interview. And and I know it was because she shared it on social media, but also because of that personal piece. You know, it's just starting your own business and someone so relatable as a mom, you know, stay-at-home mom doing something like that. So when I realized how many hits I got, I started interviewing more women who started Etsy shops, you know, and they were all Disney to some degree. And I interviewed them with my blog and online. But then from there, I found out about, you know, podcasting and how great of a medium that is and how it's different than blogging and just the greater reach that you can have. So I pulled out some old recording equipment that my family had and just sat at a microphone and had to teach myself to speak to myself because it was I'm not a great public speaker and I had to overcome that fear of just talking in general. But I reached out to a couple different people who I've been inspired by my whole life, and I just started interviewing them via phone and publishing my podcast. And it's actually, my podcast is Keep Moving Forward, which is the basis of a Walt Disney quote. So it still has that Disney-esque piece about it.
I don't know about you guys, but I sure can relate to that. Starting this show, you know, that was scary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, the first couple, oh my goodness.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's scary.
Oh, it was just, oh man, it was not fun. But,
yeah.
I mean, like the initial part. But after a few minutes, you kind of calm down and it gets going and you're good. And it's really helping with every other facet of, you know, public speaking for me, you know, class presentations or just standing up and participating in class, even is better.
Yeah.
You know, at work, I'm able to just be able to ask people questions, you know, when new issues come up and anything like that. It's just, it's really helped me a lot.
Yeah, when I, if you want to go back and listen to my first episode versus now, I'm not some, you know, like expert at podcasting, but it's so much better now. I'm just, that first episode is rough.
Oh, I feel you. Because I feel like I'm my own hardest critic, and a lot of people are like that. And someone actually told me the other day that they went back and listened to our first interview with Ty Boyson of Neurotech.
And shout out to Ty.
Shout out to Ty. And and when he said that, I was like, whoa, just, you know, just like, you know, take that with a grain of salt. That was our first one. He's like, no, you guys did great. And I was like, no, you should hear us now.
It's editing
like,
magic.
Like we're not professionals by any means, but we've come a long way and I'm really proud of what we got.
Yeah.
And yeah, I like, it's funny. One of the guests that came on here, this is his quote, Jeff Yon. He told me that he is a recovering introvert, and I love that because I'm an introvert myself, and I relate to that so much, and this was terrifying. The first time, I'll never forget sitting here in this seat behind this microphone hosting the first show, I was sweating bullets. Like, that first, like, 5 minutes waiting here for the show to start,
feels like eternity.
Yeah. So how was your experience with, I guess, maybe your first show or any experiences you've had that are memorable?
Yeah. My first episode, I'm actually set to hopefully interview the person I interviewed for my first episode for my 52nd, which is in 2 weeks. Will be a full year of my podcast. So,
oh, wow. Congrats.
Thanks. So he's a Disney guy, actually. His name is Gearness, and he is... He's from Oslo, Norway, and he's this really, really cool entrepreneur. But he's based, he sells perfume, and he's in the cosmetics industry, and he's out of the Norway Pavilion at Epcot Center. And his story is really, really interesting, but he was so cool to talk to. And I kept trying to set up the interview in the morning because I knew, you know, if I have to wait all day to interview this guy, it's going to be terrible because I'm just going to be just a bag of nerves and I'm not going to be able to do this. But he couldn't be interviewed till later in the day. And all morning, I just couldn't focus on anything. I tried to do other work. I tried to do Mallard Mate stuff and I just ended up just being so nervous. And before I ended up going downstairs and sitting in my office like 45 minutes before just talking to myself in the microphone, rereading the questions I had written out for him over and over again. And it was just, oh, it was terrible. I was like, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. Yeah. But I really did want to do it. I just had to get over that first interview. And I'm so thankful I did because it's led me down the path and I know it's the one that I'm supposed to be following and I just love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and also earlier you described, you said that you were an athlete, and how is that part of your life transitioned into what you're doing now?
There are so many similarities between being an athlete and entrepreneur, and a huge part of that is the mindset that goes into being an athlete, and for me in particular, being a track athlete. You're on a team, but wholly you compete by yourself, unless you're on, you know, a relay, but I was a triple jumper and a hurdler, and it was just me in the sand pit, or me in those 10 hurdles, and it's just finding that resolve within yourself to keep going every day and just even when you don't feel like it, because it's, you can have your coaches to push you and you can have, you know, friends and family to support you. And that's great. You need that support system, but the resolve to keep going has to come from within, inside of you. So it's definitely
almost
that.
Just keep moving forward. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know where I heard that before, but it's, yeah, it
yeah,
sounds
it's good.
Pretty
I like
inspirational.
That. Yeah. And, but yeah, it's just that mindset and that, I think the athlete mindset is synonymous with the entrepreneurial mindset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly why I'm so involved with the Entrepreneurship Center. For me, I just love spending time there. It just, you learn so much, you just get so much. Like, I mean, that's where I met you, and it's just great being around like-minded people and just being a part of that. And when that becomes normal to you, it's a really powerful thing.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah. So for you, when you say the entrepreneurial mindset, can you go a little more in detail? Like, how would you define that to somebody?
It's a good question. Yeah. I like to think of entrepreneurship as relentlessly pursuing your passions. And it's just the word relentless is really key there because it's nothing can deter you. You have to push. You have to keep moving forward. Nothing can sidetrack you from that. And with my basis in athletics, I like to use examples, you know, from goal setting. When I was trying to run a specific time in the hurdles or jump a specific distance, I knew what I was going to have to do to achieve that distance. So I had to backtrack. And with my training, you know, daily training, then weekly, then monthly, and what time I had to get up in the morning in order to finish my workout before class started. And so it was just daily goal setting that set that up. And then now that transferred in over into my business is what I have to do every day and what I want to do in a year. So what do I want to accomplish a year from now? And then to achieve that monthly and daily. So it just, I think that mindset, the entrepreneurial mindset that goes into that and just remembering that the relentless pursuit. So just what are you pursuing and why do you want to do it? And just figuring out those daily goals to get you there.
Yeah, so you're talking about relentless pursuit every single day.
Yeah.
So every single day you have to, you know, you do good, you do bad. What is your biggest obstacle every day?
My biggest obstacle is, which I'm sure a lot of solopreneurs face, I think, is twofold. It's motivation and confidence. Daily motivation is definitely a struggle. Even if you're the most driven individual, I think getting up every day and if you're going into an office and you're just sitting there by yourself trying to find the motivation to move forward and just do your work. And a big way I overcome that is remembering why I started. And that really always puts it back into focus and gets me motivated every day. And I go back to that first woman that I interviewed and just... she really is just a regular person who wanted to turn her passions into a goal, like into a successful business. And there's just something so amazing about that and so relatable. And when I remember her and what her business has grown to now, it's so inspiring. And it's it reminds me why I started this podcast in the first place. And it doesn't matter, you know, the money will come and everything that you want to achieve through the business can come if you keep pursuing what you're doing. And the second part of that is confidence, like what we were talking about with just having the ability to speak to people, interview people with podcasting, I'm just on the radio, and just knowing that you have something of value to add because you're passionate about it, and just reminding yourself that you have worth even if you're young or new to the business.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, that's a great answer.
Thanks.
So if you had to define like your ultimate dream guest for your show, who would that be?
Rudy Rudiger. And I actually had the opportunity to interview him, a couple weeks in for my podcast. And he was a Notre Dame football player. And now he's a motivational speaker. He played in only two plays for Notre Dame, but, the movie is really, it's my favorite movie. Anytime I was ever struggling in college, I would immediately just put that movie in and watch it and get motivated.
Choice.
Yeah. And the, you know, the soundtrack and everything about it. But yeah, I was, he was the big interview that I wanted to make sure I got when I first started my podcast. So I found out his company is Rudy International 45, and his secretary, I just reached out to her every day, and we talked on the phone or emailed. We corresponded until we set up a day and a time that I could interview him. And initially, it was only supposed to be for 15 minutes, but it ended up being about 35 minutes because he just, you know, kept talking. So it was just... it was a dream come true, honestly.
Yeah. And I mean, you said this was one of like your first guests that you had on the show. How did you go out there and get someone like this? That's amazing.
It goes back to that. Well, thank you. Yeah. That relentless pursuit. It's a lot of times when I reach out to someone who I think, oh, I'm never going to get this person. Mm-hmm. And I get in contact with their administrative assistant or their secretary. They say, oh, this person can't be interviewed today or in the next week, but in a couple of months they can be. So I write it on my calendar the day I contacted them. And then up until the next time they say that this person can be interviewed, I backtrack and I reach out to them either weekly or monthly or biweekly. And a lot of times sometimes they're very surprised that I keep reaching out to them and that I want to interview this person so much. So it's, I think, just one, realizing that no one is really out of reach. Everybody wants their story to be told. So it doesn't matter if you think this guest is unattainable. They might not be. So just try it. And also just don't stop reaching out. If they give you any kind of indication that they might be able to be interviewed in any kind of future time, just don't stop reaching out to them. And that's what I did with Rudy. I would reach out to his assistant every week until she got back to me and we connected on the phone. And then I solidified a date and time with her.
And how did you find like his contact details, his assistant? How do you go about that? Because some of these people, like they get hounded by all kinds of solicitors, everything, every single day. So some of them are really hard to find. How do you go about finding these people?
Well, if they have a business or if they've written a book or anything, I go to their website and I find, you know, if there's a contact form or a contact email to reach out to, and there's a media request or, you know, reach out to their administrative assistant directly. It's just trying to kind of filter through all that information, because you're right, it's difficult to figure out how to directly reach that person. But yeah, it's just discerning, you know. Sometimes if there's like a bunch of emails listed, I will just email all of those because I don't know who will respond, if anybody. And a lot of times I'll email someone and they're like, oh, this isn't the direct, like correct department or the correct person to reach to, but I will put you in contact with this person. And so, you know, through a chain, you'll eventually reach who you need to be in contact with to get the person that you want on your show.
So there's no magic secret. You just keep trying.
Yeah. Just don't give up. Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the cornerstones of an entrepreneur, is just keep trying. I mean, because that's the one thing about entrepreneurs, like seeing failure is just, you see it as a different animal. To me, I see it as a learning opportunity. It's just something you have to go through to get from point A to point B, and it doesn't stop me. You just got to keep moving forward.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You just got to figure it out, and you will. And you're right, not seeing failure as the end of the road. It's just... it's going to happen. It's part of the journey. So just keep going and figure out how to get around it, go over it, and use that to fuel you forward.
Yeah. So you said you're almost on your year mark with this. with your show. So what are some of the things that you've learned going through this?
One of the biggest things I've learned with just interviewing people in general is when I get someone who I've admired my whole life, or like with Rudy or with Dominique Mociano, an Olympic gymnast, it's really easy to get caught up in who they are and honestly forget that they're people and that I'm talking to just another person on the end, regardless of how much success they've had in their life, which is immense. I mean, these people are incredible. But I was getting so much more nervous and worked up with the interviews when I was whoever it was on the other end of the phone. I just really learned I need to stay calm and treat everyone, you know, with the same respect. And just, it would help me to just take a deep breath and realize that it's just a person on the other end.
Yeah. And so you've mentioned a few times that you deal with nerves, and it's a different animal, especially like when I mentioned being a recovering introvert. Yeah. It is, there's a lot of nerves that go into this. There's times where you just, you got to buckle down and just push through. How do you get around that, and how do you like tackle that? Just head on, or do you have any other like tips that you do to do that?
A lot of it is just head on. And it's because, you know, it's really easy to get inside your own head, which is something I'm very guilty of. And I mean, it's really difficult sometimes to be your, like you were talking about, being your own worst critic. And there's a lot of times where I'm going to do something and it's easy to talk myself out of it, where it's set up and I think, oh no, I don't have to do this. This won't help me really. But if it's, I think if it's extremely uncomfortable, it's probably exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. Yeah. So I just have to, again, you know, remember why I started and why I'm doing this and why I'm so passionate about it, and realize that the next step, the uncomfortable part, is what is going to help me move forward and keep, you know, eventually make my podcast even more successful. So it's just, like you said, facing it head on.
So it sounds like you're doing really well right now, Katie.
Well, thanks.
So what's next?
Well, just with my podcast, coming up on episode 52, like we were talking about, and just making sure I'm not backtracking. I want to have, you know, just continue to have high caliber guests and just reach out to people and, you know, I have like more goal setting people I want on my, show. So Rudy was, you know, the big get for me, but trying to move forward with that and keep getting, you know, bigger people and bigger name people, and eventually maybe have my podcast be 2 times a week, you know, just any kind of growth forward is what is next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you sounds like you've had some pretty high profile guests on there, but who is the one that took you by surprise the most, and why?
That is a good one. There was a guy and his name is John Sicari, and he was, I still have a couple of Disney entrepreneurs on my podcast, and he is a Disney entrepreneur. And John Sicari started his own YouTube channel called Big Fat Panda. And he's a big guy and he's just a big, lovable person. And I knew he was a great personality. And I thought he'd be a fun interview to do. And he was, that episode is still one of my most downloaded, and it's just, because the dynamic that was there, he made it so easy to talk to him, and the flow of the conversation with him, it was just, it took me by surprise, because I honestly didn't think anything of the interview before I went into it. Not because I didn't respect him as a Disney entrepreneur, but because I didn't know what to expect from it. It was just a really, really good interview, and it's one of my favorites.
Yeah. So, for me, it's almost like I can relate to that a lot, because I feel like that happens with movies all the time, because everything is so built on hype, and people, like, they blow some of these movies out of proportion. You go and see it and you're just let down. But the ones that are usually the gems are the ones that you never expect.
Yeah.
And yeah, for me, that's one of the things I love doing about this, is you never know what you're going to expect. You never know what's going to come from conversation. So, okay, that being the most surprising guest, what's the most surprising thing that someone, you don't have to give names, has like mentioned on your show, or something that you found out about somebody that really stood out that you would never have guessed?
Well, one, I interviewed I've interviewed a couple of professional track athletes, but one, she talked about, the interview just went in a different direction than I thought. You know, all of my interviews are, you know, uplifting and how you overcome obstacles. And hers was very uplifting about overcoming obstacles. But the big part that she talked about was the difficulty of securing sponsorships and how easily you can get dropped by a sponsor as a professional athlete, especially a professional track athlete. And it was kind of a, not necessarily a dark side to it, but it was eye-opening in how real it was. And it was honestly so shocking to me to learn about that. And our interview, the interview lasted almost an hour and a half because of how much she talked about it and spoke to the things that I had no idea about, even being, you know, growing up in the realm of athletics and track and field. So that was definitely the most surprising, but the most eye-opening and informative. And it was a really, you know, overall really good interview because of that.
Yeah. I would love you to elaborate more on that and what you learned from that. Because for me, I've also always been an athlete my entire life, soccer, football, rugby, you name it, I've played it.
Yeah.
And it's been ingrained. It's been part of who I am from my parents, from just everything about me has been always about sports. And I always wanted to be a professional athlete at some point, whether it was soccer, football. And that was always one thing that really scared me was the job security when it comes to having a contract. It obviously, it's a business at the end of the day. So I understand that. But I mean, when you're putting your body on the line and you could literally stub your toe walking out the door and that's the end of your career.
Yeah.
So what's your take on that?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a real thing. It's a reality of professional athletics. Again, not speaking from experience, but from what I've learned. Mm-hmm. And she was a 400 meter runner and she was an Olympic gold medalist and she got injured during training. And she just got dropped by her sponsors. And so she was trying to go back and forth, get new sponsorship, figure it out. But she ended up just representing herself after a while and with her own, you know, brand, everything that she created, because it was just too up in the air trying to make sure you had that sponsorship for the next meet and for the next Olympics or whatever your next goal was. So it was just, I guess the reality of it really hit home for me because it's so easy to see, the Olympic athletes, how great they are and the companies that represent them or the companies that they represent and all their successes, especially with the medaling. But just behind the scenes, what it takes for them to actually get there and then to have it all taken away from you because you get hurt or something goes awry in your training. I mean, it's scary and it's just the reality of it it's heavy. I mean, yeah.
So it sounds like you have to be one heck of a mental warrior. And that's something I've really realized as I've aged and I've seen sportsmen, because at the top level, the physical side of things kind of balances out with just how common it is and everything like that. But take Tiger Woods, for example. He was at the top of the sport and then all of a sudden he just kind of dropped. And he's one of my heroes and it broke my heart. But I kind of realized, and I did a lot, I studied a lot and figured out, kind of had saw what happened, and it was his mental game and the mental game of other people playing him. And I kind of realized this because I started playing golf about a year ago. And it is one of the most mental sports I've ever played. Like getting in, I get inside my own head, like you mentioned before, worst critic. And it was really challenging. And I loved it. I couldn't stop playing it. And when the more I got frustrated, the more I wanted to play. And then when I kind of took a step back from it and just had fun with it, didn't think too much and just went out there, and it changed a lot. So what's your take on the mental side of sports, podcasting, being an entrepreneur? What's your take on that?
I actually have a very real life story with that. It was in high school, my sophomore year, I had a terrible year. The triple jump is my main event, or it was. And I had such a terrible year with it. And I put so much pressure on myself. I wanted to go to Nike Indoor Nationals or New Balance Indoor Nationals in New Jersey. And I wanted to succeed. And I wanted to jump 35 feet was my goal at the time. And it was just a huge difficulty. And my ultimate goal was 38 feet because 38 feet was the distance you would jump if you could go to the Youth Olympics. And that was under 17. That was my goal. I was like, I have to do that. And just the immense pressure I placed on myself, nobody else was putting it there but me. And it just was mentally exhausting. And I had the worst season I ever had. And after that, I determined I'm never going to do that to myself again. You know, I love jumping. And again, going back to why I started triple jump in the first place, it was just an obscure event that my coach threw me in one day and I fell in love with it. So that love, I had to rekindle that and figure out why I was still doing it and if I still wanted to run track because of it. And of course I did. And it paid off. You know, I stayed with it and I changed that mindset. I no longer put pressure on myself. I just went out there and jumped. And another thing going along with keep moving forward is I've written on a note card since my junior year of high school, I will not regress. And I put them all around my room, my dorm room when I was in college. There's one hanging on my bathroom mirror right now. And it's just, that doesn't mean every track meet I was going to jump a personal best. It just meant mentally I was not going to regress. I was always going to move forward and just make sure, even if I never jumped 38 feet, that I would remember that love I had for track and use it to perform to my best ability.
Wow. So it's been an absolutely amazing interview with you. And just to wrap things up, we have one last question. And that would be, if there's one thing you know now that you wish you knew when you're starting out, what would that be?
It's a good question. I do wish I knew, that this was exactly what I was meant to be doing. And that sounds silly, but when I started, I thought podcasting was this crazy idea, and public speaking, if you would ask me at any point in my life, that was my biggest weakness. I'm like, I'm never going to do anything with public speaking. So the idea that I was going to start a podcast seemed ludicrous to me. But looking back on it now, if I had known, you know, if I went in with that confidence, knowing that this is exactly what I'm supposed to do, I think, you know, I wish I had known that. But, you know, the journey that I've been on, I wouldn't take anything back. I don't regret anything.
Yeah. And your confidence and passion, just it's glowing. I can see it. It's really awesome. So that's why I love doing this show. That's why I love being around like-minded people like yourself. So thank you so much for coming out. And if the listeners want to contact you or get on your show in any way, what would be the best way to reach out to you?
You can go to my website, which is keepmovingforward.us. And you can also just email me at katie@katiegalley.com, and it's KATY. So, yeah.
Yep. Well, I'm Adam Wozniak.
And I'm Darren Parkinson, and we're Biz Radio U, pushing knowledge further by spotlighting the best in business.